Welcome back. You're watching Stock Watch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Devin Shoot from the Robey Group and Derek Janse van Rensburg from Anchor. Don't forget to send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Derek, Devin, welcome to the show. I'll start with you, Derek. Can you give us sort of a market wrap locally? I mean, we had our own economic numbers out, not economic numbers, but the central bank, increased interest rate by 75 basis points, which was mostly expected. But the interesting bit is that, the split was 3-2 because the other two wanted interest rates increased by 1%. What did you make of all of that, and where did we close today on the JSE?
Yeah, I think if you just look at markets and you just look at the performance of equities globally and obviously locally over the last, let's just call it very short term, over the last month and even longer than that through the course of this year,
yeah,
it's very difficult for equities to fight this tide of rising inflation and interest rates at the moment. And as you mentioned, we obviously got that interest rate uptick out of the Fed this week,
yeah,
and then obviously South Africa following suit today. So, you know, I think a lot of that was probably priced in, but equities generally don't like rising interest rate environments. And, you know, we've got to be frank with ourselves. You know, we certainly are in, let's call it, a bit of a bear market at the moment. The slide continues. Relief rallies are very short-lived at the moment. So who knows where the bottom will be? All I can tell you is that there is some fundamental value that's starting to show its face, and that talks to the local bourse as well as offshore markets. But yeah, it's a tough environment at the moment. I think the only place to really have kind of hidden through the course of 2022 has been holding US dollar cash. And we've seen that with the currency sitting, the local rand sitting towards the dollar at 17.70, starting to strengthen a little bit today. And I think that was also one of the mitigating factors to increase by 75 basis points today, where we have had this very strong dollar and we've got to start thinking, how are we going to mitigate, some attraction towards the rand at some point? And I think that really kind of was the edge or the sharp knife in the sword that actually increased rates by 75 basis points.
Yeah.
Long and short, still a very, 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 very tough environment out there from an equities perspective.
Yeah, so expect more of these market gyrations. I mean, the JSE overall was down about 1.4% today. Some of the top winners, stocks like Goldfields, Anglo Gold, and in the losers we've had, Pepco, Naspers down there, Prosus, Richemont. So there's no place to hide unless you held these gold stocks. Maybe I should ask, I should open with this question, Devin. I mean, we have a question here on email which is asking us, if the gold play would pay off. I mean, like we said, there's high inflation, rampant inflation. We've got increasing interest rates. Stock markets is down a lot. This is the time for gold to shine. But unfortunately, that's not what's happening. I mean, we're talking about we're back to where we were basically before, COVID. So why what's happening with gold?
Yeah, I mean, it should be, right? According to the theory books, gold's really been a massive disappointment. I mean, I don't think it sold off as aggressively as some other assets, but it hasn't, given the portfolio insurance and the inflation hedge features that you would expect in this environment. I'm not too sure why, but I think Derek's right. You know, if you weren't in the US dollar pretty much during the course, of the last 5-6 months, there's really been very little place to hide, and it's been a very unnerving time for investors, and a lot of head scratching and a lot of really having to take stock and not pander to those emotions that every single investor feels. And yeah, I think we've got a bumpy ride in it yet as we continue to watch the news flow globally, with inflation being the main focal point of that. I mean, this week was just a barrage of central banks raising interest rates almost in concert. You've got the Bank of Japan now stepping into the currency market because their currency is the weakest it's been in 25 years. And yeah, you really just got a tough situation out there, and it does call for caution. And yeah, unfortunately, gold hasn't been one of those places to hide either.
So if you're holding gold now, what do you do, Devin?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're in. I think it's probably not going to fall out of bed. It may not give you the returns you want, but if you're looking at other risk assets that are still selling off quite aggressively as we come to terms with where these new potential central bank interest rate trajectories are going, you could be worse positioned. Okay. I'm not expecting much upside, but I think downside limited.
Okay, interesting. Clyde here on email says, good evening, panel. Why the big drop in Naspers and Prosus today? Tencent in Hong Kong was only down about 1.6%, but the above two shares are down about 4.5% each. Devin?
Bright, nothing specific on today, but I mean, I think what we really had is markets grappling with the Fed hike again last night. I think although 75 basis points was priced, it is still a massive hike for the Fed. And I think the hawkishness, the ratchet up in hawkishness, and the Fed willing to sacrifice economic growth to get ahead of inflation now finally is coming home to roost. And I think that really does pose massive headwinds to companies like Naspers Prosus and Tencent, their big subsidiary there. So yeah, Could be that. I don't know if there's anything more specific on it, but yeah, the interest rates are definitely wreaking havoc at the moment.
Yes, and Derek, are you of the same school of thought to say, you know, the stocks that are seen as high growth, you know, get beaten the most in such times?
Yeah, I think also what you've got to put into perspective is the fact that you've got Tencent very close to five-year lows, so yeah, sitting at about 280 Hong Kong dollars.
Sure.
There was a very big structural change that took place about 4 months ago where Prosus obviously announced selling down a further 2% holding in Tencent as they try to unlock the net asset value discount associated with the sum of the parts holding. And that actually caused quite a big rally in these shares. They went up to the tune of 30 to 40% in a very short space of time. And then obviously as we start to digest that and digest that 2% sell down, you know, you then open to market forces. So obviously with Tencent making very close to five-year lows and you get a bit of a negative day with a bit of negative sentiment out there, you know, they've done well relative to Tencent over the last 6 months, the Naspers and the Prosus position. So I think it would be a little bit natural to actually see a little bit of an overreaction in these two share prices, Naspers and Prosus, relative to Tencent, just given what they've done over the last 4 to 6 months on the back of that announcement selling 2% down in Tencent.
Okay, fantastic. We have another question on the SMS which says, Tungela dropped yesterday by 58 rands because of XDiv of around 60 rands declared, and today you know, the share price increased 11 rands to 329 rands. Take into account the 60 rand dividend that will be paid out on the 26th. The total value is about 389. Shall I keep or sell or buy more of these Tungelas at this share price? Thanks. This is from Paul. Devin?
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not sure you can quite expect those bumper dividends again, but, you know, being a shareholder, well done. Take them and run. I think structurally there is still a huge supply shortage in energy and coal specifically, and I think that is going to drive tightness in the market for some time to come. I think that will give an underpin to companies like Tungela there, and you know, maybe you don't get the dividends you're getting now, but I think there is still lots of future profits to be distributed to shareholders. That being said, you know, a single commodity producer, it is going to be volatile, yeah. and you know, anyone who's been invested in there will have experienced that. But that's part of the investment in these basic materials companies. I think hold on, I'm not too sure I would be adding after the run it's had, but I do think there's a structural demand for coal that will still play out.
Any further thoughts there, Derek, on Tungela?
So another point to note is that, yes, it went ex-div on Wednesday, 60 rand a share on our local bourse. It also went ex-div today in London.
Yes.
So that share price was down to the tune of around 10% today. And I think all eyes were on how that share price in London was actually going to react. And it obviously reacted a lot more positive than what shareholders expected. And that accounted for the big move to the upside, sort of touching 335 today, I think closing just under 330 or in and around those levels today. So really a nice dividend strip for a lot of shareholders out there at the moment. In terms of the coal market and where to from here, I still think that the bullish sort of scenario and case and fundamental case around Thungela remains, particularly over the next 6 months. You know, a lot of the easy money is being made, but we've got to also highlight the fact that the Eurozone is obviously going into a winter period now. They've got to look at alternative energy sources, and that talks to the switching on of a lot of nuclear plants inside the Eurozone. And the demand for coal, to me, seems like it's going to remain, particularly over the next 6 months. Be very close to the door on this. As soon as you start seeing alternative energy coming into the mix, coal prices starting to come off a little bit, it can react quite quickly to the downside. But as I sit today, I still think that you're probably going to make up that dividend, that 60 Rand share price down. You put that and you lob that back onto the share price. The share price is making new highs. The momentum is behind it.
Yeah.
The sort of backdrop of the coal market still seems very much intact to see these elevated coal prices. So I wouldn't say I'm extremely bullish, but I do think you're probably going to see some further higher prices from where we sit today of 330 per share.
Let's talk about U.S. markets now. I mean, we're back. This is round two. The gyrations have been wild. I mean, today, you know, pre-market, we're up about 0.7%. You know, we open deep in the red. The gyrations are still going. And to be clear, it's more volume than what we've seen in the past three trading days, because everyone was just, you know, on the sidelines waiting to see what the Fed's going to do. But all that's driving that. Actually, I should ask you, Devin, what's driving that currently? Because it's a little bit too much if you're looking at it, you know, ticker for ticker.
Yeah,
so
was it Derek or Devin?
No,
sorry,
Derek, you can go, Derek.
Okay, sorry, Devin. You know, I was actually thinking about it today as I was moving around, and I think that the Fed is actually kind of overpromised and underdelivered here, where you are actually seeing, you know, they kind of said that they would get inflation under control. You would see interest rates coming down sooner. You know, that really hasn't played out. You know, they've obviously had to play a bit of catch up, and they've had to adapt to the changing environment that we see currently taking place at the moment. So I think that's kind of given a bit of a shock to the market, where what we're seeing at the moment is a big structural overhaul in terms of this higher interest rate environment. It's going to stay higher than what we higher for longer than what we expected, and that obviously doesn't bode well for equities. We had an inflation print about a week ago out of the US, which was slightly worse than expected, and on the back of that, you saw about a 5% down day on the NASDAQ in particular.
Correct.
So, you know, markets are very sensitive to how high this inflation number can go. Again, I say it sort of tongue in cheek. I think the Fed is kind of, you know, wasn't quite sure what to expect in terms of all the printing of cash that's taken place. And structurally, I think the economy is in a little bit worse of a place than what the Fed expected. So, you know, we're adapting to this environment. Interest rates are going up sharply. Hopefully over the next sort of 6 months, we will start to see the effect of this higher interest rate environment and curbing inflation. But certainly markets are looking for inflation to plateau, and that will then obviously signal a bit of a buying opportunity for equities.
Yeah, this sounds super hawkish, which, you know, we can summarize it as saying, you know, they're kitchen sinking this, because, you know, they're trying to overhaul the whole thing structurally, you know, in one fell swoop, and that's usually not their stance, like you're saying. It's quite interesting. Do you agree, Devin, or do you have other thoughts, you know, that are varying from ours, because we can't sit here and hold hands and nod forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did get away from the the Fed, didn't it? So, you know, yeah. earlier this year, can you believe it? They were still talking transitory. Then that kind of moved to a soft landing narrative, and that's pretty much been thrown out the window now as well. I think they are very concerned that, you know, this inflation gets away from them and becomes entrenched. There are signs that this kind of heavy stick they've taken to inflation now, albeit probably later than they should have, is working on inflation expectations. There's early indications those are starting to come down, and I think that's going to be an important indicator for the Fed to watch, because those are really what becomes entrenched and drive the higher inflationary cycle. It's really tough for these long duration kind of tech companies at the moment to make head or tail of where to go. I think investors are struggling with what the correct valuations are for these, and as a result, with so much uncertainty, you're just seeing a complete pullback on anything risky, as we alluded to earlier, and yeah, really just the dollar being a beneficiary. So yeah, I think, you know, hindsight, perfect science, that the Fed could definitely be more proactive, and now you're seeing, you know, what is quite rash, let's say extreme hikes to try and get this under control, and the market's not sure if they will.
Yeah, no, it's gut-wrenching to say the least, you know, as someone on the other side of that trade. not gonna lie. We've got a question from Shuaib Kaji. I hope I said that fine. Why is the price of Capitec dropping continuously? Is there any hope now as we are sitting at 52-week lows? Derek, Capitec, an interesting one. I mean, they had that scandal where, you know, you couldn't do anything on the app for like 3 days or 4 days or however many days. The share price didn't blink, and all of a sudden it's, you know, sort of tailing.
I think there's a couple of things here. I think if we just look at the market overall, we've seen banks as a sector come off their highs quite sharply over the last, call it 3 to 4 months. And you take First Rand as a proxy, kind of peaking out around 70, 72 Rand, sitting at about 63 or sub 63 at the moment. Capitec came out with results. The thing about Capitec is it's always been a very high PE stock. It's always delivered with very strong growth numbers, double-digit HEPS growth. It's been a great company to be invested in over the last 20 years, and it's delivered great returns. But certainly, you know, when you start to see this, let's just call it a bear market take place, highly valued stocks have got the potential to unwind quite quickly. So on the back of those numbers that came out, I think it was about a week and a half ago, you've seen a little bit of a re-rating in the stock. So it sold off a little bit more than the other banks, but again, followed the other banks down in terms of the sort of sell-off that we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Where to from here? Difficult to say. I do think that it's a little bit overdone in the short term, and you should probably see a little bit of a relief rally. But again, I don't see race away prices to the upside. You know, my sort of fair valuation on it sort of takes me back towards 1819 per share, 1,800, 1,900 per share. And then I don't expect too much from there until we start seeing this inflation cycle start to plateau from where we're at.
Yeah, you're right. It's not that far off from the 1650 we're seeing here. Devin, any thoughts on Capitec? I mean, this is the one that got away. It looks like it's coming back to us.
Got away for many people, right? always seems to be a company that trades at pretty high valuations. And yeah, I've got to agree with Derek there. You know, those higher multiple companies are more vulnerable when you have these market sell-offs, and so you have that inherent risk in there, particularly when you look at the rest of the sector. You know, kind of the other four big banks were definitely not on demanding multiples. APSA in particular and Standard Bank also not bad there. So yeah, on a relative basis, a lot more to fall. Not to say that there's anything wrong with the business model as such, but I think the price you're paying for investments at the moment is key, and yeah, markets just not tolerant of risk, as we discussed.
Yeah, and when you look at the customer base and, you know, the write downs that are going to have to be taken on, considering you know, rising interest rates, I'd say you know, provisions will be higher for something like a Capitec than, you know, in the big four. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. Talking about cream of the crop, we've got a question here from Anthony Barnard, who says, can the panel give their view on N91? We've just covered banks thoroughly. So N91, is seen as, the Harvard of listed asset managers. Your analysis of N91, Derek?
So I think if you just look at asset management companies in general, whenever you see these softer markets, they're obviously going to take their toll from what markets do. So lower equity prices tend to dictate which way these share prices go. And you've seen it in the likes of Quilter as well. A little bit of corporate action sort of steaming underneath the sort of bonnet there at the moment. But certainly I think asset managers, and you look at Coronation kind of moving quite quickly down to these lower 30 Rand levels, they're all out of favor at the moment, and it's kind of indicative of lower markets and lower equity prices. I think 91 as a business is certainly, as you say, a cream of the crop. It's certainly well diversified. You've got a lot of offshore exposure, so the Rand is certainly going to help mitigate some of the downside potential in the short term. But asset managers in general are typically well-placed businesses. You know, obviously you get bear markets from time to time, but typically stock prices are listed because we expect the share prices to go up over the long term. And obviously you've got to then pick the winners within that sort of regime. So it's soft. I actually see a lot of these asset managers as an opportunity. They do pay out some decent yields. If you look at Coronation, for example, paying out about 9-10% yield at these prices. So if you're prepared to just forego a little bit of capital upside in the short term and collect some yield, I think they look like opportunities to me as you hopefully start to see some higher equity prices and higher markets as we move into the next year from where we're at the moment.
Yeah, Devin, I just looked at, the different, historic PEs here. You've got N91, you've got Coronation, you've got Quilter, all at single digits PE. With N91 at 9 something, and Coronation and Quilter much lower. What are we missing here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek's points about them falling out of favor is exactly right, and they often do move in lockstep with financial markets. But the business models are interesting. They're very asset-light businesses. They spend a lot on human capital, but not too much on equipment and that type of thing. PPE. So they when they are profitable, they're fantastically so, and they've got really strong annuity revenue built into their business models. But they need markets to perform, and a lot of them earn significant amount of their profits out of those performance fees, which are under scrutiny. And, when the markets are performing, it's very difficult for an asset manager to generate those. So, I think the yields are attractive and will be for a while. And, if markets do settle down and recover and we see strength coming back in, I think they're a particularly nice part of the market to be positioned to capture some of that almost leverage as markets move higher.
Yeah, that's a great analysis on our asset managers locally, but it's time to wrap it up. I'll start with you, Derek. Your stock pick for the evening?
So I'm actually going to lean towards the banks. Obviously, our local market has felt a bit of downward pressure over the last month, 2 weeks to a month. And as I mentioned earlier, you've seen this First Rand share price peak out in the sort of top or higher 60 Rand levels and come down to 62 and some change at the moment. They recently came out with results. Very well-run business, a very safe way to play the uncertain markets at the moment. You're also going to collect some decent yield out of it. I think there's got to be a lot of attention in this market environment towards dividend yield and dividend underpin, and they declared their normal div as well as a special div. So there is certainly some nice yield underpin at these prices. And hopefully, if we do start to see better markets, you'll start to see some higher share prices in that. So how I'm positioning at the moment on the local markets, I'm happy to collect some yield. I think First Rand looks attractive, and hopefully we do see some higher share prices and higher markets from where we're at the moment.
Yeah, I like that First Rand for you, Derek. And Devin? Your pick.
Right, one we chatted about before, Lam Research Corporation. So they supply the semiconductor industry, which has really had a tough time with supply chain disruptions that we all know about. What Lam does is very unique wafer fabrication into those semiconductors. So, you know, quite hard to replicate in that regard, and a real key part of the manufacturing supply chain there. It's a 40-year-old business, high quality, and the stock understandably has come under pressure this year. It has nearly halved, but we see the long-term demand for semiconductors is really strong, driven by cloud computing and data storage, and you're getting the opportunity to buy a company like this at almost record low valuations.
I like that. So Lam Research there for you, Devin. So it's Lam and First Rand. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks to my guests, Devin Shute from the Robey Group and Derek Janssen van Rensburg from Anchor. Do join Zinati for the Friday edition of Stockwatch. Send your questions during the day via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. The show airs live at 19:30. Have a good evening and have a good weekend.